In Galatians chapter 6, Paul mentions three things that we have to bear throughout this chapter. And so I'd like to look at these things that he tells us we need to bear as children of God. And we begin in verse 1, he says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." And then verse 2 gives us this first thing that we are called on to bear. He says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." So first of all, we see that Paul tells us here in Galatians 6 that we need to bear one another's burdens. We need to be there to help one another. And we notice here that the burden bearing that's mentioned here in verse 2, I think is related back to what he says in verse 1. And the context of this scripture, that burden bearing seems to relate to the sorrow and distresses that may be brought out about sin in someone's life. And I think it's also interesting that we notice that this idea of burden bearing is mentioned here in the present tense. So it's something that is not just a one-time thing that we do, but it's something that is continuously, a continuous action, not just one-time act of bearing one another's burdens. When a brother sins, it's our duty to come to his aid. And in the context of this scripture, I think that's what this is talking about here, based on what we read there also in verse 1. So when a brother sins, we have to come to his aid. James chapter 5 talks about that, as James tells us in that chapter in verse 15 and 16, the importance of looking out for one another and helping one another through sin, and to help one another when they to bear one another's burdens, really, as Paul is talking about here in Galatians. James says there in verse 15, "The prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Skip on down to verse 19. He goes on to say, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin." Bearing one another's burdens, helping one another, turning them back to God. That's a duty that we have as Christians, to look out for one another, to help one another. And so in the context of this, bearing each other's burden in the context of the sorrow and distresses that come from sin, but you know, I think we can apply this to other areas as well, that we bear one another's burdens as well. We laugh with those who laugh and cry with those who cry. We are there for one another. When life gets the best of us, we're there to build each other up and help one another. When there's times of happiness, we're there for one another to enjoy the moments for one another as well. So there's many ways that we go about bearing one another's burdens. It's many ways, I think, that we go about being there for one another as brethren, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as a family. You know, Wilson does our bulletin and he calls it the family report. And I love that because that's what it is. We are a family. We are God's children. And we're part of that family, and we need to love like a family. We need to bear with one another. We need to help one another when we see that need is there. We need to bear one another's burdens. We need to acknowledge our own weaknesses. We'll talk about that in a moment. But we also need to understand the weaknesses of others and help encourage them any way that we can. So the first thing that Paul tells us there is to bear one another's burdens. Ephesians chapter 4 in the first three verses, Paul talks about this same idea of bearing with one another as well. Ephesians 4 beginning in verse 1, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling of which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit and the bond of peace." See, when we bear with one another and bear the burdens of one another, as he says, bear with one another in love, we're promoting unity among the family of God. We're promoting unity in the church. And see, that's what Paul is calling on those to do here. And he's talking about walking worthy of that calling, of the responsibilities that God has given us as his children, to walk worthy of being a Christian. We are to bear with one another in love, with humility and gentleness and patience, as he talks about it in that verse. So bear with one another. If we go back to Galatians 6, though, notice in verse 5, after he says, bear one another's burden, let's go on back up to verse 3 and cover the other verses here as well. He says, if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. So not only bear the burdens of others, he goes on to say, be humble. And there's a load that you're going to have to bear for yourself. We have to bear our own burdens as well. And this passage teaches us the need for personal responsibility as well. Some responsibilities no one can carry for us. And God calls on us to carry those things for ourselves. Notice in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, it tells us we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Notice that each one must appear before God. The responsibility put on us there is a responsibility that we each as individuals must take. And as we said before, we bear the burdens of others, and when we see those in sin, we try to turn them back, and we do have that responsibility to one another to try to help them. But ultimately, that choice of if I'm going to follow God or not, if I'm going to obey Him or not, it lies with us, and that's a decision that we each as individuals have to make. And that's bearing that burden. As Philippians 2 and verse 12 tells us, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So we see that it's a decision we have to make. Others may encourage us, and hopefully they will. They'll urge us to do what is right, but ultimately it's up to us to make that decision if we're going to follow God or not, and no one can make that decision for us. And so we see that we have to take responsibilities to bear our own burdens. Part of bearing that own burden is how we respond to sin. As we said in the context of bearing others' burdens here in Galatians chapter 6, he's talking about the sorrow that others may have over sin. And I think it applies here as well to how we respond to sin. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 61, you may remember Peter in that context. Peter, of course, denied Christ 3 times. We're all familiar with that story when Christ was being led away in the hours before he was crucified. Peter said, I don't know him, and denied him 3 times, just like Jesus told him he would. And we see that Peter, when he heard the rooster crow, as Jesus told him, he would deny him 3 times before the rooster crowed. When he heard that rooster crow, it tells us in verse 61 that Peter went out and he wept bitterly. He was sorry for his sin. He knew what he had done. He didn't try to make excuses. He didn't deny it. He didn't try to pass blame to someone else. He was sorry, and he took responsibility. And he went out and wept bitterly. I remember David in 2 Samuel 12 and verse 13. Remember when Nathan came to him, and finally David understood that the story that he was being told was about him. And he realized that he had sinned. He didn't say, well, somebody else made me do it. It was Bathsheba's fault. No, he said 3 simple words. He said, I have sinned. You know, he was willing to take responsibility for that. And that's not easy. The prodigal son, remember when he went back to his father, he went back and told his father, I have sinned. That was his conclusion as well. He took responsibility for what he had done. And it's hard to admit when we're wrong. It's hard. It's not an easy thing to do at all. Now, I read that Al Capone, you probably remember this name, I guess one of the most notorious gangsters that there was, involved in all kinds of criminal activities. This is what he said, wrote about himself. He says, "I have spent the best years of my life giving people the lighter pleasures, helping them to have a good time, and all I get is abuse, the existence of a hunted man." So there you have it. Al Capone, he looked at himself as a public benefactor. "I'm doing all this good for everybody, and everybody's just picking on me." That's how most people look at themselves. They don't want to admit their faults. They don't want to say, "I'm wrong." It's a hard thing to do. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. But you know what? All three were punished. And that's how God views sin. We can't blame anyone else. Human nature, it seems, is not to take responsibility. But we must. Because as we said before, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all stand as individuals before God. And we can't make excuses. We can't say someone else made me. As we see, God punished all that sinned in the case of Adam and Eve and the serpent as well. So, we see bearing our own burdens. You know, we have many responsibilities in regard to sin. Many responsibilities in regard to God and family and church and the world. Ourselves, many responsibilities that we have. There are many personal responsibilities that God has placed on each one of us. And we have to make the decision. Are we going to obey the commandments of God? Are we going to do what He wants us to do? That's bearing our own burden. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, talks about the importance of accepting the responsibility that God has given us. The importance of doing what God has commanded. And there in James 2, beginning in verse 14, James says, "What does it profit, my brethren? If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and be filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say to you, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? And then notice verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." We must bear one another's burdens, but we must bear our own burdens as well. As James instructs us, the importance of accepting that responsibility that God has given us to do what God has commanded. Not to just say, "I believe in God," but to show that we believe in God through our actions. And that's what James is talking about right there. Bearing our own burdens. It's something that we have to do. So bear others' burdens, bear our own burdens. But going back again to Galatians, the sixth chapter, and we see another area that we, or another thing that we must bear, as James tells us in James chapter 6, verse 17. Notice there, it says, "For now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Paul wrote that he was bearing in his body the marks of Jesus. You know, we think of battle scars sometimes. Scars that are left from the fight. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He had battle scars. As we often see, Paul talked about being in a spiritual fight as a soldier. And he had battle scars frothed over from his service to God. He obtained these things in his warfare for Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, Paul tells of all the things that he suffered. He tells about these marks of Christ, basically, that he had. The battle scars that he had had over the years of teaching and being a Christian and teaching others and taking the gospel to others. In a time where some people resisted that and resisted that quite violently. And notice what Paul says in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. Begin with me in verse 23. He says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, and labors more abundant, and stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, and deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in the perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, and sleeplessness often, and hunger and thirst, fastings often, and cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what becomes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? But notice in verse 30, if I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying." As we see that Paul says, "I've suffered." Of course, we know from other things that Paul wrote, he understood it was worth the sacrifice. He knew it was well worth it, all the battle scars that he had. The fact that he was bearing again the marks of Christ in his body. When he was beaten, when he was imprisoned, those battle scars for him, they were well worth it because he knew what Christ had done for him. He knew that Christ had made salvation possible for him. He knew that he had received the gospel and he had the plan that would lead to his salvation, and he wanted others to have that as well. So anything he went through, physically speaking, was well worth it because of the mission that he had. And the things that God wanted him to do in spreading the gospel. And while we may never have to bear the physical marks as Paul did in our bodies, we need to be willing to bear the marks that maybe come from ridicule. Maybe it's anger directed toward us because of the stand that we make for what is right. Maybe we're isolated or left out because of the stand we make for the truth. Those are some marks maybe that we have to endure. The marks of Christ in our body. Maybe not physical marks as Paul did, but also we see those are the marks that God calls upon us as we must bear those. I thought this was interesting just to talk about what Paul went through. I came across this, and from history, this is called "What Became of the Twelve." From history, it tells us what became of the 12 apostles, and most of them died very violent deaths. As you'll notice here, mainly said before the Lord's Supper, crucifixion was not unusual at that time, and many of the 12 were crucified. John actually died of old age in Ephesus. I guess he was one of the fortunate ones, because Judas, of course, we know hanged himself. Peter was crucified, head downward during the persecution of Nero. Andrew was crucified. James, the brother of Jesus, was thrown from the pinnacle of the temple and beaten to death with a club. Thomas was run through the body with a lance. Bartholomew was flayed alive. James, the son of Zebedee, was beheaded at Jerusalem. Philip was hanged. Thaddeus was shot to death with arrows. And Simon also was crucified in Persia. They were willing to suffer for Christ. They were willing to give their life for Christ. They were willing to bear the marks of Christ in their body because they knew how important the mission that God had given them was. They understood how important it was to spread the gospel. They understood that the world was lost and that they needed that message of salvation. And they understood that they had something great. And that was that salvation, that hope of eternal life, that even if their life was taken from them, that they had something better waiting on the other side. And that's why I believe that they were willing to go to that degree, to give their life, to die, and not only die, but die very violent deaths in most cases, agonizing deaths in most cases, because of what they believed, and because that they knew that they had this calling of God that they had to follow through with. So we see we must bear the marks of Christ in our body. We don't have it as bad as those apostles did. We don't have it as bad as what Paul had. There's some people in certain parts of the world today whose life are threatened because of their stand for the gospel. And we need to understand just how fortunate and privileged we are to live where we do, where the only marks that we really have to worry about, as I said, are the ridicule and maybe the anger or being left out or things like that that maybe we face. And when you think about it, sometimes we get all upset and bent out of shape about those kind of things and thinking, man, we're really sacrificing because I'm having to put up with people talking about me and ridiculing me and laughing at me because I'm standing for the truth. And we think that we're really giving a great big sacrifice. Think about the 12 apostles. Think about Paul. Think about those, as we said, even living today in other parts of the world, who are putting their life on the line. And maybe we shouldn't feel so sorry for ourselves. And maybe we need to approach it with a little bit more humility and understand that the sacrifice that we are giving isn't as much as what others were called on. And therefore, we are without excuse. But these are the marks that we need to be willing to bear, the marks of Christ in our own bodies. You know, if we bear these things, we need to bear one another's burdens, to be there for one another. We need to bear our own burdens. We need to take responsibility, and then we need to bear the marks of Christ in our own body, knowing that it's not always going to be easy, knowing that there will be times where we'll be persecuted because we're a Christian, but we need to be willing to have the faith to go through and to stand for what is right, no matter what. And if we practice those things, if we're willing to bear with these things, we're going to be pleasing in God's sight. Not only will we be about working out our own salvation, as we said, and bearing our own burden, but we'll be helping others get to heaven with us. And that's what we want to do. That's what the apostles did. That was the reason they had the commitment they had. That's why Paul was willing to go through all he did. It's because he wanted to make it to heaven, but he wanted to take as many people with him as he could. And therefore, he wanted to spread that message. So this morning, let's consider these things, and are we bearing these things? Are we bearing responsibility in our own lives? And that's a question I'd like for you to consider right now. Are you bearing the responsibility that God has given you? The responsibility to obey Him. If you're not a Christian, He has commanded us to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. That's the message of the gospel for salvation. And if you've never done that, we hope that you'll take responsibility for your sins this morning and admit that you have sins and that you need the Savior and that you need that salvation and that you will render obedience to His plan for our salvation. Maybe as a Christian, you've been unfaithful to the Lord and you failed to do the things that God has commanded you to do and to meet the responsibilities that He has given you, and you know you need to make changes in your life. Repent of those sins and come back to God and ask Him to forgive you.